This article is brought to you by the best-selling book series Write Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Using anchors to guide multi-round negotiations. Set the number first, and you set the terms of every round that follows. In short, anchoring in negotiation means setting a first number, and that number shapes every round that follows. Most people wait too long to anchor, or they anchor without justification and watch it collapse. Set your anchor before the other party sets theirs. Support every anchor with clear reasoning, not just confidence. Manage your concession pattern across rounds as carefully as you manage your opening offer. Definition: anchoring in negotiation is the practice of introducing an opening number, price, or position that becomes the psychological reference point for the entire discussion. Both parties then measure every subsequent offer against the initial figure, which gives the person who anchors first a structural advantage throughout the process. You had a number in your head, a fair number, well-researched, reasonable. Then the other side opened first, threw out a figure that made your number look extreme, and by round three you were defending a position you never intended to be in. That is what happens when someone else sets the anchor, and you let it stand. Anchoring in negotiation is one of the most studied and least understood tools in the room. People hear about it, think it means ask for more than you want, and leave it at that. But in a multi-round negotiation, a single opening offer is only the beginning. The real skill is in how you set the anchor, how you defend it across rounds, how you move without giving ground you cannot recover, and how you recalibrate when the other party tries to reset the terms. That is what this article is for. Why the first number is so hard to get right. Here is the truth of it: most people are afraid of their own anchor. They worry that opening too high will insult the other party, kill the relationship, or make them look unreasonable, so they soften it. They open closer to what they actually want, and in doing so, they hand away the one structural advantage they had. The discomfort is real. I spent years opening too cautiously, convinced that a bold anchor would put people off. What I found was the opposite. A well-prepared, clearly justified opening position earns respect. A tentative one invites pressure. The other difficulty is multi-round complexity. In a single negotiation session, anchoring is relatively straightforward. Across three, four, or five rounds, you have to manage your concession pattern, respond to counter-anchors, weed shifting positions, and hold your reference point through time. Each round is a new opportunity for the other party to reset the frame. If you are not deliberate, you drift. What you need before you set any anchor. Before you open your mouth in round one, you need three things in place. First, you need a number you can defend with specifics. Not a range, not a rough figure. A specific number with specific reasoning behind it. We are asking for £85,000 because comparable contracts in this sector have settled between £80,000 and £92,000 over the past 18 months is an anchor. We were thinking somewhere around £80,000 to £90,000 is an invitation to negotiate you down to £72,000. Second, you need to know your reservation price, the point below which you will not go. Without that flaw clearly in your own mind, you cannot manage your concessions deliberately. You will make decisions based on pressure rather than position. Third, you need to understand what the other party values most. Not just their opening number, but their interests underneath it. This matters in multi-round negotiations because the later rounds are really just about price. They involve terms, timelines, relationships, and conditions. Knowing what the other side actually cares about gives you room to move on things that cost you little while protecting the numbers that matter most. The step-by-step process for anchoring across multiple rounds. Step 1. Anchor first and anchor high. The evidence from decades of practice is clear: the party who sets the first anchor pulls the final outcome toward their position. Do not wait. Do not let the other party frame the range. Open with a number that is ambitious, but not absurd. If your target is £75,000, open at £90,000, not £76,000. The gap between your anchor and your target is your working room for concessions. Without that room, every move you make looks like a retreat. State it directly. We are opening at £90,000, and here's why. Then give your rationale. The rationale is what transforms a bold number into a credible anchor. Step 2. Attach clear reasoning to your opening position. A number without justification is just a wish. A number with specific, documented reasoning is a reference point that is very hard to dislodge. Your reasoning can draw on market data, precedent, cost structures, value delivered, or comparable outcomes. What matters is that you have it ready, and you deliver it without hesitation. We arrived at this figure based on the scope of work, the timeline, and the market rate for this type of engagement gives the other party something to argue with, rather than simply dismiss. When you connect your anchor to objective criteria, you shift the conversation from what do you want to what is fair. That shift benefits you enormously across multiple rounds, because it keeps pulling the discussion back to your reference frame. Step 3. Receive their counter without reacting. When the other party responds, and they will respond with a figure well below yours, your job in that moment is to stay absolutely steady. No visible surprise. No instinctive concession. No nervous laughter. Silence is a tool here. Let the counter sit in the air for a moment, then respond with something like, I appreciate you sharing that. It is a long way from where we are, so let me understand what is driving that figure for you. You are not acknowledging their number as a legitimate anchor. You're gathering information while holding your ground. This is also the moment to read their counter carefully. How far is it from your anchor? How confident did they sound? Do they have justification? Or did they simply throw a number? The answer tells you a great deal about where the zone of possible agreement actually sits. Step 4. Make concessions deliberately and in decreasing steps. This is where multi-round negotiations are won or lost. Your concession pattern sends a signal as clearly as any words you use. If you drop from £90,000 to £83,000 in round 2, you've just told the other party that you've more room. They will push harder in round 3. The discipline is to make each concession smaller than the last. Drop from £90,000 to £86,000 in round 2, then to £84,000, then to £83,000. The decreasing size of each move signals that you're approaching your limit. It slows the pressure and trains the other party to expect less movement from you as the rounds progress. Each concession should also come with a condition or a trade. We can move to £86,000 if we can agree on the payment schedule is a very different statement than simply we can move to £86,000. Conditional concessions protect your position and often surface new flexibility on their side. For guidance on staying grounded when these exchanges become tense, the framework in how to use the core framework to stay grounded during a tense workplace conversation is worth having in your toolkit. Step 5. Recalibrate between rounds. After each round, you need to do 3 things before the next one begins. Review what actually moved. Did they concede on price, terms, or both? Did their justification change? Did they introduce new information that shifts what you know about their position? Assess whether your anchor is still credible. If new information has genuinely changed the landscape, you can adjust your reference point. But be clear with yourself about whether you're adjusting on substance or because you felt pressure. Plan your next concession deliberately. Know exactly what you will move, what you will trade it for, and what your floor is. Walking into round 3 without that clarity is how you end up making emotional decisions under pressure. Step 6. Counter a reset attempt firmly. Skilled negotiators will sometimes try to reset the anchor in a later round. They introduce a new constraint, our budget has changed, a new comparison the market has shifted, or a new framing let us look at this differently. Each of these is an attempt to pull the reference point away from your opening and toward theirs. When this happens, name it without accusation and redirect. I understand you're working with some constraints, but our position has been based on consistent criteria throughout, and I want to keep us anchored to that baseline. Then restate your current number and your rationale. You do not have to be aggressive about this. You just have to be clear. When arguments between parties start escalating in these moments, the principles in how to de-escalate arguments during meetings offer a steady, practical way through. Step 7. Close with precision. The final round is not the time to become generous. Many people, relieved that a deal is in sight, make unnecessary concessions in the closing stage to smooth the path. This is a mistake. If you are at £83,500 and they are at £81,000, the closing conversation should be precise. We are prepared to settle at £82,500, and I want to be direct that this is our final position. Stating it clearly, with the word final, changes the dynamic. It signals that there is no more room, and that pressing further will cost goodwill without gaining ground. When you are negotiating across a team or committee, multi-round negotiations that involve multiple people on one or both sides need an additional layer of discipline. The anchor must be consistent across everyone representing your position. If one person signals flexibility that contradicts your opening, the other party will go back to that person in a later round and use it. Before each round, align on three things: the number you will hold, the concession you are prepared to make if necessary, and who will speak. Inconsistency between team members is one of the fastest ways to undermine an anchor. If you notice your colleague starting to drift, you can redirect with something like, "Let me bring us back to the position we outlined," which is without creating conflict in front of the other party. Nonverbal signals between team members also matter here. If one person looks uncomfortable when the anchor is stated, the other side will notice. The guidance in nonverbal communication in tense situations covers this ground well and is worth reviewing before a high-stakes multi-party negotiation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people get this wrong. The mistake. Anchoring without preparation, hoping that confidence alone will make the number stick. Why it happens. People confuse boldness with readiness. They open high because they know they should, but they have not built the rationale. What to do instead? Prepare three specific pieces of evidence for your anchor before you walk in. Market data, precedent, scope analysis. If you cannot defend it, do not open with it. The mistake. Making a large concession in round two because the silence feels unbearable. Why it happens. The discomfort of being far apart is real, and there is a natural impulse to close the gap quickly. What to do instead? Make a small, conditional move and restate your rationale. We can move slightly on this if you can meet us on the terms. Our position remains grounded in the same criteria we outlined at the start. The mistake. Letting the other party's anchor stand without immediately countering it. Why it happens. People are caught off guard, feel it would be rude to dismiss the number outright, or not sure what their counter should be. What to do instead. Counter quickly with your own anchor. You do not need to be dismissive, you simply need to redirect. That is helpful context. Our position is quite different. So let me share where we are starting from. For situations where unspoken assumptions are driving the gap, how unspoken expectations create tension at work, and what to say to surface them can help you name what is actually going on beneath the numbers. The mistake. Conceding at an even rate across every round. Why it happens. It feels fair, and it is mathematically tidy. But even step concessions signal that you have unlimited room. What to do instead? Decrease the size of each concession deliberately. The pattern itself is the message. Your anchoring checklist for multi-round negotiations. Use this before and after each round. Before round 1. Number 1. Write down your specific opening anchor and the three pieces of evidence that support it. Number 2. Write down your reservation price. Do not negotiate without knowing this. Number 3. Write down your target outcome and the gap between target and anchor that gives you concession room. Number 4. Prepare one conditional trade you can offer in round 2 if they push back hard, before each subsequent round. Number 1. Review what the other party actually conceded in the last round, not just what they said. Number 2. Confirm your next planned concession and the condition attached to it. Number 3. Identify any reset attempts they made and prepare a clear redirect. Number 4. Align your whole team on the number and the message before anyone enters the room, after every round. Number 1. Record the specific numbers discussed, not impressions. Number 2. Note whether their justification changed, and what that tells you about their actual position. Number 3. Decide whether any new information genuinely warrants adjusting your anchor, and be honest with yourself about the answer. The work starts before the first offer. There is a story I come back to often. Two parties in a property negotiation. Four rounds spread over 3 weeks. The buyer opened with a number the seller thought was insulting. The seller almost walked. But the buyer had documentation comparable sales, condition assessments, carrying costs. The seller could not dismiss the number because the reasoning was solid. Four rounds later, the deal closed closer to the buyer's anchor than the seller's initial counter. The buyer won not because they were aggressive, but because they were prepared. The anchor held because it was grounded. That is the whole of it. If you are dealing with a situation where an impasse has already taken hold, the how to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate is a useful read for breaking the standoff without sacrificing your position. And when you need word-for-word language for a difficult moment, word-for-word scripts for de-escalating tension with a colleague before it becomes a conflict gives you something concrete to reach for. Anchoring in negotiation is not a trick. It is a discipline. The first number matters. The concession pattern matters. The preparation behind every position matters. Get those three things right, and you will stop drifting and start directing. Frequently asked questions. What is anchoring in negotiation? Anchoring in negotiation is the practice of introducing an opening number or position that shapes the psychological range of the entire discussion. Whichever side sets the anchor first tends to pull the final outcome toward their number, even when the other party pushes back. How do you set an anchor in a negotiation? Research your position thoroughly, then open with a number or offer higher than your target. State it with confidence and give a clear rationale. The combination of boldness and reasoning makes the anchor stick and forces the other party to negotiate from your reference point. Why does anchoring in negotiation work psychologically? The human brain treats the first number it hears as a reference point, even when that number is arbitrary. All subsequent offers are judged relative to the anchor, not on their own merits. This gives the party who sets the anchor first a significant structural advantage throughout the talks. How do you counter an anchor set by the other party? Do not acknowledge the anchor directly or show a strong reaction. Reframe the conversation around your own reference point, introduce your counter-anchor firmly, and redirect discussion to underlying interests rather than their opening number. Silence followed by your own anchor is often the strongest counter. How does anchoring work across multiple negotiation rounds? Your opening anchor sets the psychological ceiling or floor for the whole process. In later rounds, your concessions signal your pattern. Small, deliberate concessions protect the anchor. Large concessions signal flexibility and invite pressure. Recalibrating between rounds keeps your position grounded, without stalling progress. What is the biggest anchoring mistake people make? The most costly anchoring mistake is setting an anchor without preparation and justification. An unsupported number sounds like bluster and is easily dismissed. The second most common mistake is conceding too quickly in round two, which signals that your anchor was not serious and invites aggressive counteroffers. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.